Garcia, and another, William D. Wright, Appellant Counsel, A. Christopher Gillespie, Appellate Counsel.
You may proceed.
Good morning, Honorable Justices. My name is William Bright. I represent the appellate Yashana Spruill. The issue in this case is the admissibility of medical records without the testimony of a live witness. That's what occurred in this case over the objection of the plaintiff. I don't think there's any question in this case that the medical records in this case were not admissible. There was nothing that is in the record that established any facts as to the admissibility of this document. If you look at the document, it's really not even a certificate or an affidavit because it doesn't comply with 8.0 and 4.3 of the code requiring it to be signed under penalty of perjury. In addition, the document does not set forth any of the requirements that's set forth in 2803.6 of the rules of evidence.
Mr. Bright, the medical documents came in on the merits, is that right? Not as mere impeachment. Am I right about that?
The record was originally offered for the purposes of impeachment because it was not set forth in the list of witnesses or exhibits or the pretrial scheduling order. So
but it seemed to have changed during the course of the colloquy between the bench and
the court originally allowed it in, saying that the evidence of impeachment does not have to be listed in the list of witnesses and exhibits.
Right.
When it came time to argue the case, I wanted to make the point clear that it was admitted solely for that purpose. That was the court's, explanation for allowing it to proceed. And the court then stated, I'm going to allow him to use it for any purpose during the closing argument, and did not restrict its use consistent with the decision to allow it in for purposes of impeachment.
So under your view, that's actually when the error was made, when it went in on the merits and violated 803 on the hearsay principle.
I believe the error was made to allow it to be used for any purpose.
Because of the declaration? Issue?
Because of the declaration issue initially, but also because it did not comply with the statute. This was essentially a trial by ambush in that the documents weren't listed, the custodian of the record was not listed, the witness, Dr. Tan, was not listed, and the certificate itself is dated on the second day of trial. And so what happened during the course of trial, Ms. Spruill was denying any knowledge of these documents or records. So obviously what counsel did was go out that night or the next morning and find the custodian of records.
Can I interrupt
you? Your argument is that it wasn't even capable of being used for impeachment?
Yes, sir.
She said, I didn't have an MRI in 2011. The document says you did have an MRI in 2011. You can't use that to impeach her after she's made that affirmative statement?
This is an issue of business records.
Well, this is an issue of her veracity. Can she not be impeached with the document? I'm not talking about admitting it at this point. Can she not be impeached with the document, showing it to her, asking if it refreshes her recollection of whether she was in fact had an MRI in 2011?
If the document is properly authenticated, I don't believe counsel can reach into his trial notebook and bring out a document and simply say and hand it to a witness and say, isn't it true you saw a doctor on such and such a day or such and such a time? I don't believe you can do that for purposes of impeachment unless you intend to establish that fact during the course of trial.
But isn't authentication and also 803 hearsay exceptions necessary only for admitting evidence as opposed to merely using evidence not for the truth of the matter asserted and only in an impeachment capacity?
Yeah, that's my question.
The problem with going down that path is that counsel will end up testifying to lots of things that are in a record that's not admissible and they don't intend to prove at trial.
And you always get a curative instruction that says, you know, impeachment's not for the truth of the matter asserted. It's not been admitted. She considered only for its veracity of the
evidence. Well, this happened during the testimony of Dr. Berkowitz. They asked Dr. Berkowitz a series of questions. Did you know she had an MRI on such and such a date and time? And he said, no. I said, did you ever see a record from consultants in pain management from Dr. Tan indicating this, that, and the other? And he said, no. So what's the truth? The question? Or the answer.
But to cut to the chase, am I right or am I wrong? All of these medical documents were admitted on the merits, not merely for impeachment purposes, at the end of the colloquy between you and the trial.
That's correct.
All right.
But I don't see a distinction. I don't believe you can use a document for purposes of impeachment unless that document is authentic. And I don't believe that you can refer to facts within that document unless they're established to be true. It's almost like when did you stop beating your wife type of question when there's no evidence that you ever did. So you're placed on the defensive in a trial by having counsel reading from records that can't be admitted into evidence, can't be established as being authentic, and even if they can be established as being authentic, what parts of that record have an adequate foundation for their use at trial? It's a two-pronged test, authenticity and foundation. And neither of those are even close to being met in this case if you look at the document. So the rules have to mean something.
I'm sorry to interrupt one more time, but if it's true, we'll find out in a minute, if it is true that the medical records came in on the merits, why would we address the unrelated and moot issue as to whether or not these records could have been used purely for impeachment? Why would we do that? And why are you arguing that?
I'm not arguing that they can be used for one or the other. I am arguing that it failed to comply with the statute, and regardless of its use, if you are going to have a record that's going to be used for any purpose, then you have to comply with 8.01, 390.3. You've got to send it to somebody 15 days in advance. I'm going to use these records, and then I can object to it, and then we can have a hearing on what parts of that record are admissible or can be used, which facts are true or within the personal knowledge of the person that made the entry, and then the court can decide whether they would limit that under those circumstances for use for impeachment or use as substantive evidence. But when it's a
So if I have a witness on the stand and the witness says the light's green, I can't say, isn't it true you told Joe the light was red? I can't say that. I've got to produce some, I got to make that evidence. I got to bring Joe in. I can't impeach a witness simply by saying, no, there's something out there that says you're wrong.
I do not believe that you can ask a question based upon facts that are not in evidence. I do not believe you can ask a question unless you're prepared to proffer to the court that you do intend to prove that during the course of trial.
Well, I'm poorly litigated because I asked a lot of impeachment questions that I had no intent of admitting the evidence on the merits.
But then you're misleading the jury into thinking that the question is true when there's no basis for the question. There has to be some good faith basis for asking a question.
A good faith basis is different from having the doctor here and spending $2,000 to have the doctor show up at trial and say, yeah, they're my records and I did it, yes.
I agree with that, but there's a procedure to be followed that has to be strictly construed in order to get to that point. So you have to establish a foundation for the use of that document, and that foundation is set forth in the rule 2803.6, where you have to establish that it was made in the ordinary course of business. And I mean, there's a list of things here, and 6D says all of these conditions must be met. And so before you can use the document, you have to lay a proper foundation, and that's all that we're asking. You just can't say, here's some records and they're true copies, therefore they can be used for any purpose. I mean, that circumvents the statute on giving me adequate notice. It circumvents the total rules about foundation, and it totally defeats the veracity or truthfulness of the document if it can't be established that it was done in the ordinary course of business or that it's a fact within the personal knowledge of the person who made the entry.
Counsel, prior to the documents being entered, had your expert testified that the 2013 MRI report that he reviewed referenced the 2011 MRI?
Well, he admitted that it did, but he had not seen that record.
But was the question whether there was a 2011 MRI? Is that the issue that these records bring up?
Well, it raises by implication whether there was a 2011 MRI because nobody ever found one. There's not one in the record. Nobody produced one. So it's really hearsay. It's double hearsay.
But my question is, had your expert testified that the records he reviewed showed a 2011 MRI?
No. It was a 2013 MRI. He does not know, in his testimony, he did not know anything about Dr. Tan's records. He did not know anything about a 2011 MRI. He testified that he saw a 2013 MRI.
That referenced a 2011 MRI.
He did not see that record.
Okay.
That is the record that's the subject matter of this controversy, is that the record that was admitted into evidence made reference to Dr. Tan reviewing a 2013 MRI that made reference to a 2011 MRI that nobody ever discovered or produced or even knows of its existence. This is part of the problem with double hearsay. So, for example, I think it was in the
Mr. Bright, before you get too far down the line, let me ask you about a remedy in this case. If the court remands for further proceedings, are we remanding for an additional trial on damages only, or are we remanding for a full new trial? And does that decision hinge upon whether or not the error had to do with impeachment versus the merits?
There is no instruction regarding impeachment. So the document, when it was admitted, the jury was never instructed. And in fact, the court said, I'm not going to limit it. So it was admitted for any purpose, regardless of the initial intent. There was no instruction to the jury, there was no distinction to the jury, and the court allowed it to come in and be used for any purpose. There's been no issue in this.
I get that, but what I'm trying to parse out is that there have been questions addressed to you about whether or not this was proper impeachment nonetheless. All right, so if there's no error on the impeachment use of it, but we do find error on the merits, would that be a new trial on the full issue?
It's a new trial.
Or would it only be damages?
Damages only. And the reason for that is there's been no issue raised as to the liability of Angela Taylor.
Damages only? It was a zero verdict. I thought the whole argument was they believed this was a pre-existing injury and it wasn't aggravated at all.
But there's no issue on liability, and case law says if there's no issue of liability and I'm entitled to a new trial, there's no reason to have another trial on liability. That's further complicated by the fact that this court did not grant the appeal as to the co-defendant Garcia. So in a new trial, we have an absent defendant.
A zero damage verdict under Virginia precedent is a defense verdict. Even though it's, in fact, the quote from the Rawl case is a defense verdict perversely stated. That's the quote. Yeah, you got liability and you got $0. And the defense walks out, I think I just won. And the law says, you did.
I don't agree with that. I believe that there was a plaintiff's verdict and the damages awarded were zero. They could have awarded a verdict for the defendant. They did not. And so in those cases, the liability has been established. A new trial on liability would be prejudicial to the plaintiff to the extent that the other defendant is no longer there, and therefore we can't adequately establish the evidence of liability as to one defendant only. I believe that under those circumstances, there's no issue as to liability. I'd like to reserve my 25 seconds.
All right.
Thank you.
May it please the Court, I'm Alexander Christopher Zaleski, and I represent Ms. Tyler in this matter. Counsel spoke a lot, and I'm not going to just stand brief my brief about the admission, and certainly there was discussion as to whether it was impeachment or whether it was for complete use, any reason whatsoever. And counsel for the appellant argued essentially that there wasn't a witness there to testify. There was an affidavit that was presented, and the trial judge found pursuant to the applicable code section and Virginia Rules of Evidence that it was admissible with that certificate.
Admissible on the merits, because you don't admit impeachment evidence.
Yes, sir.
So it did go in on the merits, did it not?
Pursuant to the trial judge's statement, yeah, that's correct. Okay.
So how does it go on the merits and it doesn't satisfy the hearsay exception? Because there's no evidence at all, either in the attempt at a declaration or any other evidence of the three prongs being met.
There were not prongs met under the modern chapbook rule. The trial judge found that pursuant to 8.01,
the court found it was authenticated, which still requires the declaration to be right, but authentication is obviously completely different from hearsay, right?
I agree with that. I can't.
So if it goes in on the merits and there's no hearsay foundation laid, again, what am I missing? It should not go in on the merits without the foundation being laid. Is that correct or incorrect?
That is a correct statement.
All right. Was the foundation laid?
Not pursuant to the modern shop book rule.
Okay. So doesn't that mean you lose?
The first part probably. The second part is that every statement that was included within those records, and Your Honor asked about Dr. Berkowitz, the chiropractor, testified in the 2013 report did reference the 2011 MRI. Everything that was contained within those records had already come in through the chiropractor or through the plaintiff herself without objection.
Well, I went through all these documents, and I saw a lot of stuff in the medical records that didn't come in through anybody except through the documents.
The party admissions certainly are included on those. I would state, careful to redact all opinions and statements that would not necessarily be part of those things, but certainly the 2011 MRI was testified without objection to by Dr. Berkowitz. The injections were testified to without objection by Dr. Berkowitz. The radiating pain, the sciatica, was testified to by Dr. Berkowitz without objection. So if there was error with those records going in, it was harmless error based.
But how could the credibility of the plaintiff be harmless? I mean, that's a central part of the case, is do you believe what she says or do you not? And you're impeaching her. So I get some of the stuff, some of it came in. And so I saw you argued harmless error, but that just seems tough in this circumstance when her credibility is so central.
Mr. Zaleski, new trial, only damages.
And Judge, I was not familiar with the case that Your Honor, the other justice cited that the plaintiff's verdict for zero, it would be essentially a defense verdict. And if that's what the current law states, then it would be a trial on both liability and damages.
Did you contest liability at trial?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. There were two defendants who were co-defendants. The plaintiff was a passenger in my vehicle going through the intersection.
So the zero verdict could have been, I don't believe your damages case because everything was pre-existing, there was no aggravation, or it could be, whatever, you get nothing. I don't believe anything, actually, you say about the accident or your medical condition or anything else.
The jury verdict had options for either defendant. There were co-defendants. And my defendant was found negligent only with a verdict for zero. The other defendant was found not negligent. It was disputed. Red light, green light, or really green light, green arrow case, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir.
Rebuttal?
Just one final comment on the issue of a zero verdict being a defendant's verdict. In this case, the plaintiff was a passenger in a vehicle where two people contended that they each had the green light. So there has to be liability as to one of those defendants. There has to be liability against the person who made the left-hand turn or the person who was coming through.
So they picked Tyler and rejected Garcia. They picked Tyler out and rejected Garcia.
I agree, but that's what undermines the question of the zero verdict on behalf of the plaintiff against the other defendant, because there had to be a liability as to one of those defendants.
All right. Thank you very much. Call the next case.